side with me fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless soul, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs of life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? Triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim and Kim and girls. We always think of the the beautiful sounds that Tim and Kim and the songs that they have brought to us over the years, and that blessing is just doubled. Amen. With the addition of two more beautiful voices. Thank you to everyone who has served in our program this morning, and I pray that the Lord will bless in the sermon. Let's bow our heads. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, opening your word and seeking the truths and the wisdom and the guidance that you have hidden in your words for us. Lord, lead and guide and direct. Open our ears and open our hearts. Bless us with your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Perseverance. The last time I spoke to you, I told you about a man sick in the Amazon jungle. He begged his companions to leave him there. He said that if necessary, to leave his bones in the Amazon, and he was just fine with that. They refused to leave him there or to allow him to perish, and the life of our 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, was spared. Rio da Duvida, or River of Doubt, is a 400-mile-long tributary of the Amazon River. The last time I spoke of the courage and determination of President Roosevelt's attempt to explore this uncharted river and other branches that total a journey of about 1,000 miles. Through most of the 5-month expedition, the explorers were shadowed by the Sinta Larga Indian tribe watching their every step. Later, it was found out that in the tribe's council meetings, that some were in favor of killing all the explorers outright. But there were others that were hesitant. They were not ready to kill them yet. Since it took a unanimous vote to go to war, the travelers owed their lives to the hesitant and curious few who withheld their vote for war. The explorers knew of the Indians' stealthy stalking and even tried to establish contact with them by leaving gifts of food. But they continued in their endeavor, naively unaware of the delicate balance in the relationship. The Bible speaks of courage and boldness, to be strong and of good courage. But there's another virtue that the Bible speaks of, and that is of perseverance. Dell, thank you for that story about that cat. You had me on the edge of my seat. That was one perseverant cat. It could also be referred to as determination, stick-to-itiveness, or faithfulness. Romans 5, 3 to 4 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." A few weeks ago, Olive spoke about hope, and we see that it is a result of perseverance. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7 says this, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." Right in the middle between virtue and love is perseverance. Perseverance is keeping on, keeping on. Job persevered in patience. Joshua persevered in truthfulness. Esther persevered for her people. Many Bible characters displayed that drive to follow God's will in their lives. We've had a few cold days lately, but with the warm days, it has certainly turned my interest in putting out a garden. Common sense says that it's too early, and if I did put something out, it would likely to get frozen dead. Farming or gardening is a good example of perseverance. It takes perseverance to buy seed and then bury it in the ground, tend the seed, water the seed, weed around the plant when it does come up, and repeat as often as necessary to produce until a crop can be harvested. And then to carefully preserve the crop for the table. When my family moved to Tennessee almost 50 years ago, my dad continued a practice that we had done all my life. We had a garden. It took a lot of patience and perseverance and loads of barn manure and tilling and to turn an old tobacco patch into a spot that would grow an abundance of garden produce. One day, Jesus was teaching by the sea. Actually, he was in a boat, and all the people were on the shore surrounding the water there. Take your Bible and let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Turn to Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus is telling them, talking to them, preaching to them in parables. And in verse 3, he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Where Jesus lived, agricultural things were always happening, and so Jesus used what was around him to teach. And he gave the parable of the sower, went out to sow. Some seed fell on the hard ground, some on stony ground, some on thorny ground, and some on the good ground. Later, his disciples and some others asked Jesus about the parable, and he begins his explanation of the parable in verse 14. And so skip down to verse 14. And Jesus gives the explanation of the parable that he had given. Verse 14, he says, "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside." Now, I picture, you know, it says these are these, and it goes through each of the groups. And I'm trying to picture Jesus telling the story. And he may have just picked up a rock and set it here, and another rock, and he said, "These are those." So if you picture Jesus pointing at a rock and he's explaining the different groups, he says, "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And likewise, these are the ones that was sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let me ask you this. What made the good soil good? Did it have hard-packed soil in it? No, it didn't have any of the hard-packed soil. Did it have stones in it? No, good soil didn't have stones in it. Did it have thorns? No. The good soil had gone through a lot of transformation and preparation, and I submit to you, perseverance. It is easy, or not it is it easy to till the soil and transform the soil from hard-packed to soft and easy to plant soil, to plant seeds or plants into? Is it easy to remove stones from the soil? No. Think of all the hard work that goes into building those stone fences that you see around the countryside. A lot of work went into that. Or how about removing thorns or trees, or if you want, clearing the land? Is that easy? No, it's not easy. It is no easier to make the soil ready to accept a seed or a plant than it is to make our hearts ready to accept God's word into our hearts. It takes perseverance. It takes making right decisions, choices, and priorities. It is not easy. It is hard. It is always hard. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Perseverance. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, He is the one that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." God is always there for us. Through the treacherous rapids of our lives, through the twists and turns that threaten to dash us to pieces in our own rivers of doubt. Jeremiah 32:40 says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their heart so that they will not depart from me." God is perseverant, isn't He? On the afternoon of May 19th, 1914, Roosevelt triumphantly entered New York Harbor. He had been gone for 8 months and returned with stories of exploration that had the scientific community and geographical societies feuding as to whether such stories could be true or just made up. In the 3 weeks since emerging from the Amazon jungle, Roosevelt had put back on 25 of the 55 pounds that he'd lost while navigating the River of Doubt, which was later renamed Roosevelt River. Perseverance is holding fast. Deuteronomy 13:14. "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." Sir Winston Churchill took 3 years getting through the eighth grade because he had trouble learning English. It seems ironic that years later, Oxford University asked him to address its commencement exercises. He arrived with his usual props, a cigar, a cane, and a top hat that accompanied Churchill wherever he went. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose in appreciative applause. With unmatched dignity, he settled the crowd and stood confident before his admirers. Removing the cigar and carefully placing the top hat on the podium, Churchill gazed at his waiting audience. Authority rang in Churchill's voice when he shouted, "Never give up." Several seconds passed before he rose to his tones and repeated, "Never give up." His words thundered in their ears. There was a deafening silence as Churchill reached for his hat, cigar, steadied himself with his cane, and left the platform. His commencement address was finished. Perseverance. Persevere. Hold fast to God. He never gives up on you. Amen.